call to order the Planning Commission Board of Adjustment meeting for March 24th, 2026. The meeting's being recorded and the audio will be posted on the city website. And anybody wishing to speak, please raise your hand to be recognized by the chairperson. And with that, we do a roll call. Bob.
Tom.
Okay. Any additions or deletions to the agenda? Okay. We do have a couple public hearings tonight. The first one is variance application 02-26 for the construction of an addition to a non-conforming dwelling. The subject property is located at 40821 Sunset Lane. Property ID is 222-70599. And the applicant owner is Ronald Sibley. With that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair Stancer. The applicant is requesting an after-the-fact variance to replace and expand a porch with a 20 by 10 addition to an existing non-conforming structure, approximately 42 feet from the OHW, where 75 is required. You'll notice in your packet I did include pictures of before and after. You can see that they expanded upon a porch that was underneath that deck to enclose that whole area. I don't believe they might be... They're not any more forward towards the lake than the deck is. However, the porch did increase slightly. Other than that, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer whatever questions you may have.
Because this was a after the fact, is there a penalty for that it's been paid?
Not for the variance, but there will be for the land use permit. The subsequent land use permit does have that penalty to it.
And what is that penalty?
It is three times the cost of the permit, or $1,000, whichever is more. Yep.
Thank you.
I did go out and I looked at the property, and I noticed it did move closer to the lake, but not much. Just out to the existing support posts that are supporting the deck. I did notice that there's patio doors on what I would call the north side, or if you're on the lake side looking at it, patio doors are on the left. The old structure that was there, according to the photograph, the exit from the porch was on the south side, where the existing deck is. So I was just curious what the plan is by the patio door, if it's just going to be steps down to the yard, or if there's something else. So if the property owners are here, no? Okay. That was a question I had.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with their plans for that. That wasn't discussed. So at this point, it would just be steps, because anything more than that would be a structure.
Yeah,
right?
There's nothing on the
They'd have to come in for variance again.
Okay. They
did sign a winter window, so they will need to do those.
What did you say?
They did sign a winter window, so they will have to do a compliance inspection. The DNR was noticed. They did not comment. However, in your packet, there is a comment from a property owner, and then another comment came in after the packet had already gone out. I did supply that to you. It's on the desk there.
Two property owners, neighbors, that
didn't
object.
Correct, yeah. I did recommend adding a condition for a stormwater management plan. I figured that was appropriate, as they are adding just a little bit more impervious to the property, and they do have a very nice shoreline, natural shoreline currently.
Mm-hmm. Questions? Anybody on the board? Any public comments? How's your opportunity to talk here? All right, we'll close the public comments. And if there's not any other questions, I guess I would like to ask for a motion.
If we go through all of the staff findings,
sure we can.
Yep, we'll need to do that.
Yep.
I'll just start, and there's just a few, so I'll just start at number one. We'll just enter those in for the record. The subject property is located at 40821 Sunset View Lane, zoned shoreline residential. The variance request is to place a 10 by 20 addition 42 feet from the OHW, where 75 is required. Impervious is under the threshold. The existing legal non-conforming cabin is located within the setback, and a variance must be obtained to expand and replace that porch in addition. The DNR has been notified of the request. Number six, will granting the variance put property to use in a reasonable manner not permitted by the zoning ordinance? Yes, the applicant is proposing to continue the use of the property as a single-family residential dwelling, and expanding and replacing the front porch requires a variance. Subject property is constrained due to the location of the pre-existing structure.
Yes.
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 Does the property have unique circumstances that were not created by the landowner? Yes, the property contains a legal non-conforming dwelling that was constructed prior to the adoption of current ordinance standards. I did include no additional living space could have been added on the back portion of the structure.
I would say yes.
If the variance is granted, will the essential character of the locality remain consistent? Yes, the addition will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The addition expansion of the porch is reasonable in size and use and is consistent with other dwellings in the vicinity.
Yes.
Will the variance, if granted, be consistent with the comprehensive plan and be in harmony with the purpose and intent of the City of 50 Lakes ordinances? Yes, the request with conditions is consistent with the purpose and intent of the zoning ordinance and the following goal in the comprehensive plan, which is to preserve the natural character and environmental quality of the lakeshore and still allow reasonable use for property owners and the public.
Yes.
Yes. And has the variance request been made based on conditions or reasons other than economic considerations alone? And yes, the request has been made on factors other than economic considerations.
Another yes.
Yes.
And then we have two staff recommendations listed here.
Yep. Just that the plan has to be in substantial conformance with the plan as shown. So what you see tonight, the land use permit needs to be for that, and then also for the stormwater management plan.
Just one comment tonight. I know in the ordinance, on page 30, under 3.18 building standards, 3.18.01, we've got all structures and apparatuses shall be constructed in accordance with the Minnesota Building Code. The city does not examine plans, inspect dwellings for compliance to the state codes. Just want to be sure that who's ever building it, it doesn't look like it's probably a contractor, so it's the property owner, that they're not creating a problem for themselves.
Correct, yeah. So all building within the city limits must be done to code. However, the city does not regulate it. So it really does land on the property owner to make sure that they are meeting those standards. But we as a city do not regulate that. They are required to do electrical, state electrical inspections, and I think that's all the inspections that would be done.
Connor, Joni, any other further discussion?
No, Don asked my question that I had. That was my concern.
I ask for a motion.
I make a motion to approve variance 0226 with 10 findings of fact and 2 conditions.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Application. Variance granted. Next public hearing is zoning map amendment 01-26. To rezone a 5-acre parcel from commercial mixed use zoning district to public and parks PP zoning district. Conditional upon the approval of the split meets and bounds MB0126. The subject property is located at a to be determined address on County Road 1, property ID 22260506. Applicant is Burke and Julie Meehy, the City of 50 Lakes owner and City of 50 Lakes. With that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you so much. The City of 50 Lakes is seeking to rezone commercial mixed-use zone parcel. It's 5 acres of land. The proposed is shown up there in red. It has not been split yet. This rezone is contingent completely upon the meets and bounds lot split that is later on the agenda. they would like to rezone it to public and parks to be used as city-owned property. The proposed parcel does meet all of the requirements, as we'll get into in the meets and bounds.
Can we have a little history on what's happening here?
Well, you know, the city is very limited to the size of the city property here, from one down to the park there. And we need to, we're thinking about, you know, the future and for expansion of, there's a lot of possibilities over there, or that can be over there. If we need to expand our fire department or maintenance over there, there's been a lot of requests for community gardens and a place to bring brush. I don't know if any of that would be there, but it's. I recognize that the city will need a little room to grow in the future, and we were able to acquire that, and so I think would be very advantageous.
The city will own the property then when we're through with this?
Yes.
Okay. And that's okay with the, obviously with the homeowner, the property owner presently.
Yeah, he was very kind and has let us acquire this. And
good.
He just, I'm just excited about it.
Did you try for more?
We didn't push too hard. Well, you know, there's that other property we're looking at here, too. We're working on the foundation property, too.
Oh, okay.
That'll be coming through in the near future, I think, you know, or I don't know if it'll even come here. I'm not sure.
Well, I think the idea of having that public and park zoning district that we created last year is to make sure that all the city-owned land is zoned parks and mm-hmm. public and parks. Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you.
Tonight, this would just be a recommendation. This would have to go to City Council for final approval.
So we want a recommendation on the zoning map amendment?
Correct.
Yes. And then
yes.
Get them to the actual, what do you call it later on?
Meets and bounds, lots of
meets and bounds. So you need a motion?
A recommendation. It's going to the council. So.
Well, I'll make a recommendation. It's zoning map amendment 0126B. That we, as the Planning Commission, would recommend to the council that they approve this.
Contingent upon?
Depending upon the...
On the last step.
The last step.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Open forum. Got a lot of people here. Someone wants to get a chance to look at the minutes. Julie Mia in the City of 50 Lakes. And with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. The applicant is requesting to subdivide a 39.52-acre parcel into two parcels. Tract A, shown on the certificate of survey in your packet, is a 5-acre undeveloped parcel with 300+ feet of frontage on County Road 3. This proposed 5-acre parcel meets the minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the public and parks zoning district. And Tract B, with the remaining parcel, would be 34.52 acres of undeveloped parcel, has about 600+ feet of frontage on County Road 1 and 700+ feet of frontage on County Road 3. The proposed remnant parcel meets the minimum lot size requirements for a parcel in the commercial mixed-use zoning district. They did have a meets and bounds lot split in 2019. However, the time has passed that another lot split can be done.
Difference, but in the zoning map amendment that we just made a recommendation for, there the subject property is to be determined on County Road 1 with the same property ID that we have under the meets and bounds where we reference County Road 3.
Okay, say that again.
Under the zoning map amendment 01-26, we say the subject property is located at a to be determined County Road 1 address.
That is... the subject property, that would be the whole, that 39 acres. So that would be that subject property, would be that. It's contingent upon that lot split. So that's why I just put County Road 1. It's, that's what's listed on the GIS.
Okay.
I did notice the Coeur d'Alene County Highway Department, basically anything that happens near or on county roads, we do send notice to the county. I did not hear anything, did not get a reply. I didn't anticipate getting a reply.
Do you want to go through the staff findings?
We don't need to. We can just go ahead with the motion and just reference those staff findings.
Okay.
Are we recommending that council approve this?
You would be approving this.
Pardon me?
You would be approving this.
You are approving it?
Planning Commission approves this, yes. On 42, there is 6 of them. It should be on page 42.
Thank you for voting for this property, and that's all I have.
All right. I guess, your planning and zoning administrator report.
I've got a little bit more than that, so. If you notice in your packet, I've got a breakdown of the applications that have been applied for so far in 2026. I've broken it down, permits approved in January and in February, and then in March as of 3/16. I did include property owners' names as you requested. if anybody has any questions about permit status so far this year?
What page are you on?
It is 46.
Okay.
Yep. Anybody has any questions concerning those?
No.
All right, and as we talked about last month, about little tiny bits of information coming your way instead of a big amount of information, I was able to prepare some items concerning blocks. Except now I think I left mine. I did.
Like your drawing or the exception of the block, that was the loop, and it always confused me a little bit.
Yeah, so I included two things. One is a document from the DNR. I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me right now. It is a deep dive, so everything you've ever wanted to know about blocks will be contained in that. I'll leave that for you to read as you'd like. But I did put together this just this quick reference for blocks. I think it's a good, it's just really good to kind of keep it... all of these requirements, and they are pretty simple. So in order to be a bluff, it has to be located in shoreland. It has to have a height of 25 feet. Quick note, that's not height this way. It is definitely a height this way. So it has to have that vertical elevation of 25 feet. And then it has to have a slope of at least 30%. It has to drain towards a water body. And if all of those criteria are met, then it is considered a bluff. State of Minnesota shoreland rules adopted bluff standards, I would say, in the late 80s, 89, I believe. And so it really stopped a lot of development of bluffs, and they aim to keep vegetation standards really high in order to protect the steep slopes and prohibit any structures from going in. Things that are allowed would be steps, landings, stairs for lake access. That's an allowed structure that can go into a bluff. Generally, there's no dirt moving allowed, so it's the post and beam stairs and landings that are allowed in a bluff. And so what that means is, yes, there's a little tiny bit of dirt moving when you dig the post holes, but it's very minimal, and then they want to make sure that all the understory on a bluff would remain. So that's all the root structures, the shrubs, those kind of things. We don't want to do clear cutting. Now, 50 Lakes does allow the establishment of what's called a view corridor, and there's some pretty specific requirements in that, is that you can remove, I think it's up to 25% of trees in this one area just to establish a view of the lake if you are on a bluff. But that does not allow for you to remove the trees. So there's a difference between removing a root structure, it would lead to a lot of erosion. And so those are kind of just some of the bluff standards that that are in our ordinance and in shoreland rule of the state of Minnesota.
Can you repeat the part about the post, please?
About the, okay, so stairs, lift, and landings, because we want people to have access to the lake.
This isn't for a structure, it's for stairs.
Yep, stairs, lifts, and landings, and that's it. You're also allowed to do intensive vegetation clearing, not removal, but just clearing where those steps are going to go in. So obviously, you don't have to wind around trees and whatnot. You're able to clear that path.
Now, in the area that's beyond the actual bluff, which is the first, what do we call that, the first?
So it's broken down into the area that is the bluff, right? You've got the top of the bluff, you've got the toe of the bluff, and then you've got the actual bluff. And then there's called a bluff impact zone.
Yep.
And bluff impact zone is just another area that you can't put any structures in. And I believe your ordinance has it 20 feet or 30 feet. it's 20 feet of the bluff. And then there is a 30-foot setback. So from that top of the bluff, there's that 30-foot setback as well. Interestingly enough, the city of 50 Lakes has a side setback, which is very difficult to administer and enforce. For instance, if I have a bluff on my property that's 15 feet from your property line, you go in and you get a permit. The planning and zoning administrator or the person doing the permitting is not going to get information from neighboring properties in order to make sure that you're meeting that setback. So it's a very interesting thing to have on your ordinance.
Well, I had a very interesting property that actually caused that to be put in their ordinance. I can't remember what it was, but I remember a long discussion about it.
Yeah, and it's, it makes sense, but it's very difficult to, because we're not going to go look at other people's properties to make sure that, right. You know, if they've got surveys, we're not going to require them to get a survey, you know, just because their neighbor is looking at getting a permit. So there are instances where, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be able to be enforced.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions right off the bat of bluffs? It's a very interesting conversation. Interestingly enough, you can still get a variance, though, like we've seen. You can get a variance to increase a structure in a bluff. And that I've had many talks at length with the DNR about how that's possible, and they do consider it a variance in size or a variance in it's not a use variance, it's definitely a dimensional standard that they're getting a variance from. So it's been vetted.
It might be easier to get a variance in that first piece of 30 feet or whatever, that 30 feet beyond the top of the bluff.
Yeah.
Because that still is restricted, but it might be easier to get a variance there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the important thing to look at as, you know, the body that would grant variances and whatnot, is that how to protect the slope of the bluff, how to protect the property line, how to protect the shoreline. And it really comes down to that vegetation protection and making sure that people aren't, you know, digging up the sides of their bluffs. I've seen some pretty bad projects go south.
I know when Justin was here then, when we had a failing retaining wall down by a storage shed down by the lake, and we are in a bluff. And I was able to get a permit. I didn't need a variance, but a permit to replace that retaining wall, as long as we didn't remove more than 10 cubic yards, which turned out to be probably about 5 cubic yards.
Yeah. I'm assuming, and I don't know the specifics of that, but I'm assuming that retaining wall had been in there prior to the adoption of bluffs.
Probably.
Of bluff
back in
rule.
The 70s is what it was put in.
Yep, and so that would be protected property right as a legal non-conforming. And so that's probably why you didn't need a variance or anything like that. But there are ways to deal with erosion when people do have erosion on a bluff, but its vegetation is the most constructive and the recommended. Other than that, is there any suggestions for information that you would like for next month? Anything?
What kind of questions do you get?
Well, anything that you want to learn about, anything that you want a little guide about.
No, when someone comes in to apply, you find some areas that are more difficult to talk about.
Yeah, shoreline. You know, shoreland is probably the number one that we get questions on. It's just that there are so many rules and requirements. It's Minnesota Shoreland Rule 6120 that they're subject to, and most people don't understand that applies to 1,000 feet within public water. And that's most of our area, right? So it affects a lot of property owners, and there's just not a lot of information out there, about those rules. And so shoreland alteration permits are always a good thing to touch on. Vegetation standards are always a good thing to touch on. And so I'd be happy to chat about any of those.
Maybe take one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just mean for these to be quick, 5-minute, so that we're not overwhelming you with information.
I
sure
appreciate this, especially this exemption, the 18.
Yep.
18% in 50 feet is always been confusing, and this just is clear as a bell.
Yep.
So, thank you.
That helps.
Why is the information on shoreline limited?
It's not limited. I mean, if you want to go on a deep dive, you can go to the DNR's website. It's a great time, you know.
I thought but you said it was limited.
It's, I think people's exposure to it is limited.
Got it.
They're not, you know, a lot of property owners just buy a lake home, and there's many people that aren't aware that there are all of these rules, right? And they lean heavily on landscapers and on what contractors tell them, and sometimes that doesn't align with necessarily what our ordinance requires. Correct, yep. Yep. So as much information as we can get out, that's what we try to do. 50 Lakes does have a fact sheet on shoreline alteration permits, what's allowed, what's not. So there are several fact sheets on our website, including riprap, shoreline alteration permits. I think, I'm trying to remember what else we have up there, but there are some. So if you go to the planning and zoning page on the 50 Lakes website, there are fact sheets, and a lot of them have information on the shoreline alteration permit.
Yes, I'd be curious if you'd be willing to post your document that you just shared with the commission publicly as well.
I will be happy to. In fact, I will turn this into a bluffed fact sheet for our website. It'll have the logo on it and everything. It'll
Fantastic.
Be great. Yep, I'd be happy to do that. So, yeah, riprap, travel trailers, shoreland alterations, guest cottages and quarters, that's subject to shoreland rule as well. Accessory structures, water-oriented accessory structures. And all of that. So maybe next month I'll break down what SIZ 1 and SIZ 2 in the rear lot zone and all of those areas are in shoreland. We'll start there. Okay.
Yeah, this is good to get bits of information. We've gone through this block thing how many times?
Well, the exceptions are always the confusing part.
Yeah. And in the, if you have any questions, if you're reading through that and something doesn't make sense, just give me a call or an email.
And the drawing says more than 3-4 pages of words.
That's why I thought that quick reference was good. Yep.
Anybody, anything else?
I'm trying to be quiet tonight.
All right. Tony, I think you get the honor to make a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Okay. We don't have to vote on that.
Correct.